Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So Paul in 1:1 clarifies who he is. He's a bondservant. He's a doulos, a slave to Christ. Now, listen, this isn't a negative term. This is a God owns me, I am surrendered term. And so Paul sets up who he is. Very clear, right out of the gate. I am Paul, and I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Very clear. Then he says, called to be an apostle. This is what God has called me to do. This is my job. Now, every one of us have a job. God has called each and every one of us to do various jobs. For me, he has specifically called me to be a pastor. And it's really funny because I remember when I surrendered to go to college. I was 35 years old, and my business was doing well. We were doing well. Everything was fine. And God called, and I surrendered. And we sold the business, sold the house, moved from Raleigh. We moved to Springfield, Missouri. And when I got there, I remember specifically going, okay, God, I'm here. I'm in college, just like you said. But I'm going to tell you right now, I will be an evangelist, but I will not be a pastor. Yeah, you guys see the humor in that, don't you? So God was like, I'm sure God's going up there to Jesus going, psh. He doesn't have a clue, does he? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, check him out. He's not that smart, but we're going to raise him up, okay? So Jesus, have patience with him. And then God shows me the verse where it says he's long-suffering. That's applicable to me, right? Because I am slow to learn. And anybody else there a little slow to learn? Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen. It's like, God, I need a 2x4 across the back of the head because I just don't get it. Like, you can't drop subtle, you know, men especially, women, they throw out subtle hints, right? And men still have the deer in the headlight look. Right? That's what we do. And so we just want it clear. So then God makes it clear, and then we're like, okay, I understand, but no. Right? Then we get rebellious. And so what does he do? He boots us. And we're like, okay, let's go on and we're going to serve. Well, Paul says, listen, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I have been called to be an apostle, and I am separated to the gospel of God. I am separated to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth. There is no other except for the gospel of God. So he makes it very clear. Verse 1, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to be, and this is what I'm called to do. We get into verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Now, here's what you got to understand about what's going on here, why Paul puts this in. Because a lot of the people back then, instead of following the prophets, they would read the rabbis' writings, their letters, and they would read the books that they wrote back then. And they would kind of cancel the scriptures. They would read somebody else's stuff. And Paul says, listen, here's what I'm doing. I'm telling you that I am going to share with you the prophets of old. We're not canceling them. We're not throwing them away. We're going to take their truth, and we are going to preach that truth. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. As we unfold this and as we go through this book, you're going to see, sometimes you're going to feel like you're in a classroom. And that's okay. Because, you know, you got to learn, and we have to unfold things for you to understand. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, this entire book of Isaiah chapter 53 is about the prophets as an example. It's not obviously not all the prophets, because it's just the prophet who? Isaiah, right? We're in the book of Isaiah, so it's just the prophet Isaiah. And he unfolds what Paul is talking about. Isaiah shares it all the way back in the Old Testament. And Paul says, listen, I'm going to tell you what the prophets of old told you about the Holy Scriptures. We're not abandoning them. I am unfolding them for you. And so if you look here in Isaiah 53, we're going to read this and just kind of break it down for a minute. Here's an interesting question that I was asked this morning, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus yet. I'm terrible for doing this, just so you know. But I had somebody come up to me and go, Pastor, I got to know, how do you get saved? Really? Like, is anybody, okay, did anybody else get more excited than I did? I'm going, and then here's the most tragic thing. I went after service. like I don't have a choice here, right? After service. How do you get saved? Like, what do you do with that question but praise God for it? Yeah. Amen. What do you, man, that got me pumped up way more than Starbucks could ever think about getting me juiced. I'm just saying. And then I said this, I said, listen, just listen really good during the service. So if I don't have anybody else listening to me today, I know I got one. Listen to me really good today because I'm going to share with you salvation and what it looks like, and then we'll talk right after service. And so if nobody else gets any of this, it's geared toward the one person who asked the one question. Amen? Amen. And it'll be good. And the rest of you, listen, you can learn. Just listen. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall not. Now, if you have New King James, I want you to, I'm going to point something out to you, okay? This today is kind of like a class, because I really want you to understand and grab hold of this. So as you read this, and as you look at it in the New King James, what I love about the New King James is anytime it's referenced to God, it's going to be, the beginning of the word is capitalized. And so if you have he and him, if he is Jesus Christ, it's going to be a capital H. If him is man, it's going to be a little h. You see the difference? So immediately, because in Isaiah 53, there's a lot of he's and him's. And you can get lost. And so I want you to understand, as you're reading this, and you go in your mind, you go, who's he talking about? Look for the capital H, okay, or the little h. And immediately you'll know if it's God or man. So he says here, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. If you notice, both of these are H's, right? For he, for Jesus shall grow up before God the Father as a tender plant. Do you see how that looks? I'm just helping you out here because I want you to understand this as we read it. Otherwise, you're going to go, you're going to get this lost puppy dog look. And I don't want you to do that. So I want you to hang in there. And as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, by the way, no form, no comeliness, no form, no position, no comeliness, no great looks. Comeliness means good looking. Okay? And so he has no form or comeliness. In other words, no position, and he's not the best looking of guys. So we're talking about Jesus here, and you know, we want to be politically correct and go, everybody's beautiful. Jesus wasn't. I'm just telling you from the Word of God, okay? And by the way, as we go on, in the next 2 weeks, we're gonna break down some verses, obviously, and then the following week we're going to be in verse 18, and from 18 to 32 is really one whole idea, and I'm gonna try to put it all in one. Okay, so we'll finish chapter 1 because I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures, but you have to understand this, and I'm just putting this out here. Okay, chapter 1 is one of the most harsh chapters in the Bible. Especially in Romans. Chapter 1, Paul sets it up, and it's so beautiful. Here's who I am. Here's who Jesus is. This is my job. I'm preaching the gospel, and the gospel is the only way to heaven. And without Jesus Christ, you can't get to heaven. And so on. And then as he rolls down, and we get to 18, he starts talking about the wrath of God. Now everybody goes, but I thought God was all love. And let me tell you something. God is all love, but he's all just as well. And he's righteous and he's holy. And so he talks about some things that are like a dagger in the heart. 2 weeks ago, when I was preaching, I had made a statement. And the statement that I had made was that I did not agree with homosexuality. That's the statement that I had made. And I had some friends of mine who visited that I had been after for a couple of years to visit. And then I met with them afterwards, and they said, not them, I met with the dad, husband afterwards. And he said, I just want you to know, we'll never be back to your church. And my whole body just kind of slumped. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm feeling good, and you know, you're upright. And then he says that, and I just kind of went, oh, why? Why? And he said, because you spoke against homosexuality. And I said, all I did was say I didn't agree with it, but I also said it was that he was a friend of mine, too, that we just had a conversation. And he says, oh, I know. I'm just telling you. We won't be back. Guys, you have to understand. When I hit 18 through 32, I got to preach the truth. I got to preach the Word of God. Amen. This last week has been a struggle because Satan has attacked me overwhelmingly. And there's nothing worse than speaking truth and it chases people out of the house of God. And man, I was heartbroken over that. I mean, heartbroken, because I wanted to see them saved. And then they're like, we're never coming back. I'll never back up from preaching the word. But it doesn't mean that it hurts any less. It doesn't mean that I take great joy in going against the grain, or that I take great joy in telling people that they're sinful, or that they're living a sinful life, whether it's adultery or homosexuality or drunkenness or whatever the sin is. It doesn't make it any easier. So here's what I want you to hear up front. I'm going to get into a tough place in the next 2 weeks. I want you to be here because I want you to learn and I want you to understand. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not jumping. Listen, I realize that everybody, you got to show love and God loves everybody just the way they are. Yeah, until they get saved, and he doesn't expect them to stay that way. So as we unfold this, listen, guys, you know, and here was my response to somebody one time who said that I needed to be tolerant. And I said, listen, I am tolerant. And they go, no, you're not. And I go, just because I disagree doesn't mean I'm not tolerant. I still allow you to live your life. And I said, you know, do you believe in tolerance? And they said, absolutely. And I go, it seems funny that you believe in tolerance until you have to exercise it. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't apply to you. And what I'm asking you to do as we go through this is be tolerant. Seriously. Listen, you don't have to agree. You don't have to disagree. But if you really want to learn truth, you really want to understand the Word of God, you really want to say, okay, I want to know what religion is right. I want to know what God is right. I want to know the real way to heaven. I want to know real truth. I want to know if I need to stand over here or if I need to stand over here. Whatever it is, guys, if you want to learn it and you want the truth, you need to be here. And what you need to do is you need to extend the messenger some grace. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I am wore out from this whole political agenda garbage that I'm fighting constantly. Constantly. See, some of you go, I'm in the workplace and I'm not going to discuss it. And great, that's your out. I don't have an out. I got to stand 24/7 where I stand, and if somebody asks, and that's the crazy part that gets me, if people ask the question and I answer it, and then they hate me, and I'm like, "Are you serious? You asked me what was in here, and now you hate me?" And you know, here's what's really crazy. I know it's coming. I know that I've been set up. Oh, you're a pastor. Let me ask you about this. And as soon as they say it, I know, man, here it comes. Here it comes. I am set up. What do I do with this? Look, I could be politically correct like all these other so-called pastors, and I can dodge it, but what good is that? I've left them believing a lie. I've left them sit where they were sitting that's wrong, and their understanding is wrong. I can't do that. I would rather you be mad at me and dislike me, but at least you'd know the truth when you walked away. And so here's what I'm doing. I'm asking you, extend some grace my way. You expect it from me. You do. Every one of you expect grace from me. Well, Pastor, you can't say that to me. Well, Pastor, that's just mean. Well, Pastor, I'm not coming back. You hurt my feelings. Well, Pastor, you should have been nicer. Pastor, I'm asking you to extend the grace to me that you expect from me. Okay, is that fair enough? Because as we go through chapter 1, it's going to hurt a little bit. And it's going to sting a little bit. And I'm going to be put in a position that is going to create you to dislike me. But the truth is, you're not disliking me. You're disagreeing with God. But the dagger in me doesn't feel any less painful. Okay? So, I'm sharing my heart with you today. Because I'm really just wore out on this political attack that is constant. And it doesn't go away. It just doesn't. And I'm like, I just want to shoot everybody, but that wouldn't get them to heaven. So that defeats my purpose or my call. Amen. So at any rate, as we go through this, guys, I want you here. I want you to learn. I also want you to understand that if you disagree with what I say, you're disagreeing with God. You're not disagreeing with me. So don't attack me. Get on your knees and take it to God. Seriously. Lord, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Lord, I don't like what you put in there. Lord, I think you're wrong. Whatever your heart is, you share it with him. And then let me know how that goes. All right. That was my little rant. Isaiah 53. Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I can only imagine because, you know, I look at the pressure that as a pastor that I go under sometimes. Can you imagine what Jesus went under? Despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. Now you notice man is what? Capitalized. Who are we talking about? Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. You know, when we talk about the gospel, we talk about how to get saved. What does it mean to be saved? First, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is not just a man. I mean, he was a man. He came in the flesh, and we're going to break that down here in Romans in just a minute. But listen, he came as more than just a man. He came as a sacrifice. He came as one for you and me. He came for one reason, and that was to die so that we could live. There's no other reason that Jesus came. When we look at the Gospels, we look at the Scriptures, as Paul says, that Isaiah is talking about, just for an example. Listen, Paul says, I am going to preach the same thing that those prophets preached. You didn't believe it then, we're going to try it again. Why is it that man's heart is so hard? Why is it that man says, I'm going to believe my own way, or I don't like what that says, so I disagree with it, and I'm going to walk my own way. But wait a minute, this is the truth. I don't care if it's the truth. It's not palatable. It doesn't taste well. It doesn't set well in my heart, and so I'm going to walk this way. But wait a minute, you're leaving the truth. And yet we still say, I don't care. I don't like it. And we walk our own way. And I'm telling you, look what it says here. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, for our sin. And somebody said, why is it that pastors always talk about sin? Because if you can't understand where you have fallen, you cannot understand where Jesus needed to pick you up. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to get you to understand who Jesus Christ is. Why is Paul putting himself out there? Why is Paul willing to be imprisoned? Why is Paul willing to die? Why is Paul willing to be beaten? Why is Paul willing to go through all the heartache that he goes through? Because he understands salvation. He is a wretched man and was saved by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And he says, I understand salvation. I understand the freedom that comes in the grace of Jesus Christ. And I want every person to have that. Talk about being unselfish. Why do I preach the truth? Because I feel like Paul. I want every person to understand the truth so they have the opportunity to go to heaven. And if you don't understand who that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for you, you will not understand that you need salvation, and therefore you will not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and therefore you will not go to heaven. See how simple this unfolds. And here's what happens. We hear the prophets of old, and you hear the pastors of today. Some not saying what the scriptures say, but some willing to tell you exactly what the scriptures say. And here's the problem with today, the people's heart of today versus the people's heart of yesteryear, or yesterdecade, or yester go on. The problem is the same. Pride. Pride. I know what's right. Really? How many here have ever made a mistake? Yeah. You know, I know. Listen, I talk to somebody and they go, well, I don't believe everything in the Bible, but I do believe this and I do believe that. Who are you to pick and choose what is truth? Who are you to decide what part of this book is a lie and what part of it's the truth? Listen, either it's all truth or it's all a lie, and it does not depend upon what you believe. It is not determined by how you feel or whether you like it or you don't like it or whether it's palatable, whether it tastes good or it tastes bad. That is immaterial. The truth is the truth because it's the truth. And we need to understand that Jesus died for you and me. No other reason. He came to earth. No other reason. That was it. He didn't come down here to teach us good morals. He didn't come down here to teach us how to walk the right way. He came down here to die for us, but in the process, he taught us everything else. But his purpose was to die so that you and I can live. That's it. No other reason. And so Isaiah says it, Paul says it, and listen, there's 1,000 years difference between the two. 800 years. Maybe it's close to 1,000. Look here in 4:5, I'm sorry. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. How many today are broken? I'm going to tell you, guys, we're all broken. Every one of us are broken. Some of us are willing to admit it, some of us aren't. But every one of us are broken, and every one of us need a Savior. And he says, you know what? By his beating, by his stripes, by the pulling out of his beard and disfiguring his face, by being stabbed in the side, by getting whipped to the point he was not even recognizable as a man, by those stripes, you and I are healed. by those stripes. Do you get it? How many here would take that kind of beating for me? Oh, how about this? How many here would take that kind of beating for your enemy? And yet Jesus did. For all men he came to die on the cross for. That none would perish, but that all means all, and that's all means. It's all inclusive. It's everyone. No one left out. That all who come to him. I'm just going to tell you, we got to understand what this was about. And this is what Paul is telling them in Romans. He says, listen, of those prophets, I'm preaching the same gospel. Do you know why? Because it never changes. Guys, the word of God never, ever changes. If it was wrong in here, it is wrong today. It never changes. If it was right in here, it is right today. It never changes. If Jesus was the Savior back when Isaiah was saying the Savior's coming, then he's the Savior today. It never changes. The truth is the truth, guys. And this right here is the only thing that has never changed ever, 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 that we can hang our hat on, that we can rest upon, that we can sleep upon, that we can have peace upon, because we know our God is truth. And he loves us and he never changes. But, you know, how many have seen bumper stickers or like I have a patch on my riding chaps, and it says that freedom is never, the cost of freedom is written on the wall. Anybody seen those? Obviously talking about our veterans. By the way, thank you, veterans, for your service. Well, for Jesus, you know what? The cost of freedom was hanging on the cross. But as Paul goes on, he says, listen, he didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. We're going to unfold that we may never get out of verse 2 of Romans today. I'm just saying, you know, look here in verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, for who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. It pleased, listen, look here, guys. Look, I don't want you to miss this in verse 10. Don't miss this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who is him? Jesus. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus. Why? Why would it please the Lord to bruise him? Because he knew and he understood that when he was bruised and beaten and killed, we could live. Now think about that. Why would it please you to have your child beaten? Why would it please you to have your child bruised? For us, this is insignificant. There's no purpose. But for the Lord, it was so that we could live. Do you realize the Bible says that we are God's, the Father's gift to Jesus? Think about that for a moment. We are God's gift, the Father's gift to Jesus. Sometimes I'm thinking he could have got a way better gift. Amen. Man, if I had to unwrap something like me, whew, I might be a little disappointed. I'm just kind of saying. 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. He's going to be satisfied when we get saved. When we give our life to Christ, he's satisfied with that. Isn't that amazing? He just wants us. He desires us. Yes, he loves us. But listen, there's also stipulations in there that once we get saved, he expects us to be obedient children. Just like as parents, my youngest turns 16 this week. And this year, my oldest will be 18. Whew. I don't even know where I'm going with this. If prayer has the perfect place to start. But, you know, with my children, if they're ignorant of something, I explain it and we move on. I remember I had told them, and it still stands today, and it has always stood, and they know it. I said, listen, you can ask me anything you want, any question. I don't care. Ask it, and I will answer you. And so they would come home from school. Daddy, what does blank blank mean? Okay, let's talk about this. And then, of course, we would explain it, and I'd say, okay, now you understand what it means? Yes. Okay, we don't ever say it again, because you say it again, the next time you're in trouble. Do you understand that? Yep. Okay, happy day, we move on. And then, of course, another day comes. Daddy, what does such and such mean? Because as they get older, the such and suches and the questions get deeper, amen? And of course, you know, then the question comes, Daddy, how do babies get in women's stomachs? Yeah! That's the question Dad always looks forward to answering, amen? And of course, I answered it truthfully. Absolutely truthfully. And when I got done, they're like, oh, I don't want to hear no more, I don't want to hear no more. But I'm thinking, if they're going to know, if they're asking, they need to know the truth. Because if I don't tell them the truth, somebody else will, by way of a lie, by deceiving them or tricking them. So I made it very clear. If you kiss a boy, you will be pregnant. I had to tell the truth. Let's move on. And for those other parent families who have not yet had that talk, I just planted a great seed for you. Okay. Look here in I don't know, 11, I guess. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you understand that last verse? That he made intercession for the transgressors. You and I are the transgressors. And he came in and he said, because the Father said, listen, they're all, every human being is condemned to hell. And Jesus said, I'm the intercessor. I'm gonna die on the cross so that no one has to go to hell. Then why do people go to hell? You mean to tell me a loving God would send people to hell? Nope. Prideful man sends himself. Because God says, the Father says, I am sending my Son, Jesus, to die for the whole world. And if the world says yes to Jesus, they go to heaven. If the world says no to Jesus, they go to hell. That didn't sound nice, did it? But again, listen, if I'm going to answer the questions to my daughters real, I'm going to speak them to you real as well. He made intercession for the transgressors. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. When Paul says here in verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's what he promised, guys. If you're sitting here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that Isaiah 53 just told you who Jesus was. He just told you that God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross, a brutal death, because we are transgressors, we are sinners, and without a cleansing of the blood, a pure blood, we have no chance of life after death. We are condemned to hell. And God the Father says, I'm sending my Son. And Jesus says, I'm dying for them. And he died for them, but he rose again on the third day. And if it wasn't for the resurrection, Jesus would have been just like any other man. But because of the resurrection, we have life if we're willing to die to ourselves. Look here in 3. Concerning his, 2 says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, and he says, our, listen, he's talking to Christians. You know immediately that he wrote this letter to Christians, the Jews and the Gentiles, because he says, our. He is including the people he's talking to with himself. And we already know that Paul's saved, so we know here that he's talking to Christians. Don't you like how that one little word clarifies who the letter went to? But there's more words. I just wanted to point that out to you. His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. Now listen, here's what you got to understand is he says, listen, he was who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. That talks about him coming to earth and him being born or being made, if you will. It was the beginning of something, but that wasn't the beginning for Jesus. The birth to the Virgin Mary was not the beginning of Jesus. It was the point that he was made for our salvation. Because if you look here, he says, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection, I'm sorry, in verse 4, he was made, born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So he was, at the point of his birth to Mary, he was made in the flesh. He began, if you will, it was the beginning of his existence as a human being. But his existence as God or the Son of God has been forever, and he was declared. You see the difference? See how Paul says he was made in the flesh, but at the same time declared as Lord. He says this was the beginning of his earthly life, but he's always been God. That was the difference between being born of the seed of David and being declared the Son of God. He made it very clear here that he has always been, but this was the beginning of his life to die for you and me. Look here in 5. We'll finish with 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Okay, let's break this down real quick. It says here that in 5, through him, through who? Jesus. Through Jesus, we have received grace. We have received the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and to go to heaven. That is the grace that he has bestowed upon us. That is the grace that we have received. That opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. How many like being forgiven when they've done something wrong? Wow, doesn't it just take a load off of your mind? Listen, man, there are times when I remember when, and one of my daughters, I won't say who, they can always reveal if they want. I learned a long time ago, quit calling them out. So I just throw them out as a team and let them handle the crowd. And, cause they'll go up there. I know it was you. And here's the funny thing. Most of you are always wrong. So anyway, I'm having, one of my daughters gets in trouble and I'm trying to, you know, I'm being this dad trying to teach a biblical lesson here, right? And I go, okay, you know that you have earned and you deserve a spanking. Yes, I spanked my children on the butt, only on the butt, whenever they deserved it, which sometimes seemed like every 5 minutes. But they would get it. So they knew this. And by the way, when I would spank, I had to help them understand that the punishment was far worse than the joy of sinning. You get what I'm saying? Like, they had to understand that I don't like the cost that this joy cost me. And so it was a deterrent. And that's what God says. If you spare the rod, you hate your child. And so I didn't want to hate my children. I wanted to love them. So I never spared the rod. At any rate, so I went to my child and I said, "You know that you have earned a spanking." "Yes." And I said, "Okay, go to your room. I'll be there in a minute." So I get the minute goes by. I always like to give them a few minutes to process. As a parent, don't we have the right to torture our children that much? And so, at any rate, I finally go in the room and I said, "Listen, I am going to extend to you what Jesus gave us, and that is grace and mercy. And so, you're not going to get a spanking today. And you need to thank Jesus for that." "Thank you. Thank you, Daddy." "No problem. I love you." And we go on. I don't know how much time went past, but I'm guessing it wasn't a lot of time. And we are in the same situation again. And so I told my child, "Go to your room. I will be in there in a minute. You're getting a spanking." Right? I'm just telling you. I'm like, I want to be real with you. And so I get in there, and my child goes, "Daddy, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure. Will you give me what Jesus gave us?" That was yesterday. Today's a new day. Turn over. Right? But listen, we understand grace. Amen? We understand grace. And that grace that we have been extended is not receiving what is our due. And our due is death and hell. Our due is forever punishment. Why? Because we're sinful creatures. And I know, listen, that right there is like a really bad tasting word for somebody to say you're sinful. But if you're going to be gut honest with yourself, and you don't have to tell another soul, you would say, "I'm sinful." We are. Okay, I'm going to prove it. How many here is perfect? There you go. Some are deceived, but the majority of you got it. Vern's still trying to understand the word perfect. Just giving him a hard time. If you're not perfect, you're sinful. See how easy that got? If you're not perfect, you're sinful. And so Jesus says, that's where grace comes. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You sure didn't deserve it. But God said, because I would have none to perish, because I love you, I'm giving you grace. And that's what Paul is talking about right here when he says, through him we have received grace. And then it says, and apostleship. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago, because last week we didn't have church, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I said, nobody can be an apostle today. If you look at the qualifications of an apostle, nobody can be an apostle today. Number one, you had to be handpicked by Jesus. Number two, you had to be personally taught by Jesus. And number three, you had to witness his death, burial, and resurrection. And so even if you want to say, well, I was handpicked by the Spirit of God and I was taught by the Spirit of Jesus, you were not there to witness the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So you cannot be an apostle. So what does this mean when it says that we have received grace and apostleship? We have received the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, if we're willing to accept that, and we have been given the call to witness just like an apostle has. That means that's what it means by the apostleship. The call to be the messenger. Now you're not an apostle, but you have received apostleship. There's your difference. So I don't want somebody to walk out here and go, "See, he's wrong. That verse right there says we received apostleship, and so we're apostles. Let's go tell somebody." You're wrong. You're not. You received the call to witness. not to be an apostle. All right, so then he goes on here. For obedience to the faith among all nations in his name. That's what he's talking about. Through him we have received grace, forgiveness, salvation, and apostleship, the call to go out for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So you even read apostleship and then it says to go out and do the works of Jesus. So you keep it in context and that helps you to understand. Then in verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he's saying. You are the called. You are the ones who not, because listen, we read through the New Testament, we read in the Gospels that people were called. In other words, it's a calling where Jesus says, I don't want you to die, I want you to be saved. I don't want you to go to hell, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to understand I've come to die on the cross for you so that you have that opportunity. So that's that called. But then you have here where Jesus says, you are the called. That means that not only did you hear the invitation of Jesus Christ to be saved, but you believed and you received the invitation, and so now you are saved. So what he says is the called, those who are already saved. Okay, that's what he's talking about here when he says, among whom you also are the called, those who received, who believed and received, and now you're saved, you're the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Okay, so if you are saved, you are called a saint. Do not allow that word to mislead you in thinking that you are a saint. In the respect that you are really, really good. Right? Because you've heard it say, oh, they're such a saint. And then you hear the parent go, yeah, well, you ain't got to live with them. So understand the difference of saint. Here what he's talking about is that's what a child of God is called, is a saint. Not because you're good, but because of God's goodness is bestowed upon us. And now, if you are the called, one who has received or believed on Jesus Christ, you're saved, and now you are a saint. You are going to heaven. It's that word separation, that word that separates you from the rest of the pack, okay? And I know that saint doesn't fit everyone, but it does fit those who are saved. So he says here, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's really interesting, and I'm going to finish with this, that he says grace and peace. And he has it in order because, you know, sometimes we wonder why. And we also think, what in the world? Why is he repeating himself? Grace and peace, grace and peace. Well, who's he talking to in Romans? Who's he talking to? Christians. Specifically, give me the two groups that he's talking to. Jew and the Gentile. So the grace is to the Gentile. And the peace is shalom. It's to the Jew. So when he says grace and peace, he's making it very clear that he's talking to both groups. Isn't that cool? Like we just look at it and we go, grace and peace, all right, that's pretty cool, let's move on. But Paul is saying grace to you, Gentile, because do you understand that Jews are God's chosen people? And that the Gentile, how many in here are Jewish? Okay, that means every one of you that's in this room has been grafted in, adopted, if you will, and that is grace. That is God's grace and nothing else but God's grace. And so Paul says, grace, that's to the Gentile, and peace, shalom, that's to the Jew. So he's letting them know, listen, this is all inclusive. This is to everyone. I'm talking to everyone, which means that, listen, the Jew has to get saved just like the Gentile. There's no difference between us as far as when it comes to salvation, even though the Jews are God's chosen people. And so he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's making it very clear that it's from God our Father. Why is he saying God our Father? Because if you've received Christ as your Savior, God Almighty becomes your Father. And Jesus Christ is your Savior, and then he becomes our brother. And so he says, I want you to see that this invitation, and everything I'm about to tell you from here on out, is for your maturity in Christ, your understanding to grow, for you to have success in your walk. That's why we call it the Romans Road. And it's from our Father and our Savior. This is truth. And it's truth from the scriptures of old. It's truth from the scriptures at this moment. And guys, I'm going to tell you today, right now, is truth for you. The question is, are you going to believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And listen, you're not here by a mistake. See, God loves us so much, and He puts things in the way, and this is kind of what He does. This is what He does. I'm going to use you, man. Step up here. This is what He does. This is our visitor, first time. Give him a hand, right? It's Nick. Yeah, Nick. Nick or Nicholas?
Nicholas.
Don't mess it up like I did. This is Nicholas. And so here's what God does. You're here today because you know what God did? You wanted to go this way, and God went, no. I want you, because I love you so much, I want you to hear the truth today. And so you go, oh, cool, I'll go this way. I don't know why, and I'll go this way. And God's like, now you're, wait a minute. Let me help you out here, Nicholas, because you're not real smart like everybody else. And have a seat. Boom! And so God brings you here so that you can hear the gospel. He brings you here so that you can receive Christ and have life everlasting and not die and go to hell. He loves you so much. So when people go, well, why would God send somebody to hell? He doesn't. He sends you to church. He sends you to Connecting Point so you can hear the truth like you did this morning. And you can make a conscious, educated, clear decision because the Holy Spirit has told you, listen, this is truth. And I'm sure in your brain you're sitting there and you're going, well, this does make sense. It's because it's truth. And it makes sense because the Holy Spirit is wooing you. That's what the Bible says, wooing you. That wooing means he's calling you. He's tugging on you. He's pulling on you. He goes, you don't have to get up. He's going, Nicholas, listen. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. And so come this way. That's what he's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He pulls you. He woos you because he wants you to hear the truth. He wants you to understand the truth. He wants you to believe the truth. He wants you to receive the truth. And then you go to heaven. That's what Paul set up. 1-7. That was Paul's setup for the whole Romans Road. I have good news for you. That's the gospel, by the way. It's good news. And he says, I have good news. Everybody likes good news, amen? I have good news for you. There's grace. There's forgiveness. Now, with that good news comes accountability. And that's the Romans Road. He says, I love you just the way you are, and I'll receive you just the way you are. I want you just the way you are. Come to the cross just like you are. But then, like I shared with you about my daughter, once she understood the truth, or my daughters, I should say, because both of them have come and asked many questions, and once they understood the meaning, I said, now, if you say that word again, you're going to be in trouble. Do you understand me? Yes. See, I had no problem with them coming to me to understand or to learn or to grow. But after that, if they continue to do whatever it is they've been told and they understood and now they continue on, now they're held accountable. And that's what God does to us. He says, listen, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are. Listen, the cross is for the broken. The cross is for every human being. But once you get to the cross and you receive Christ as your Savior, you believe, then the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God, very Spirit of Jesus Christ, lives inside of us, dwells within us. And so therefore we're not to carry on with the same silly behavior that we used to carry on with. See, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Come as you are, but don't stay the same. Come as you are. I love you. Here's the grace. Then go and be obedient and be that saint. That's what we're called to do. That is what this is all about. That's what Paul just told us in 1 through 7. And I know some of you are sitting there and saying, well, why didn't you just do that in the beginning and we'd already be at lunch? Because then I wouldn't get a paycheck. You know, we only work one day a week. Sundays, last week, I almost starved to death. We didn't get a paycheck. My wife said, don't you let that happen again. And then I said, wow, man, we can't cancel the church ever. No, I'm kidding. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. I hope today you understood salvation. I hope today you understood what God did for you for one reason only, because he loves you. There's no other reason. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Why else would anybody allow their son to die a heinous, brutal death for somebody who doesn't deserve it? He loves us. I can't explain it. I can only tell you it's the truth. Everybody bow their head, please. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, well, how do I know? Well, if I were to ask you, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And your answer would be, well, I think so. Or, I think so because I'm a good person. Or, I think so because my grandmother's a Christian. Or, I think so because I live in America. Or, I think so because whatever reason. I want to tell you today, that's not good enough. You cannot get into heaven on your own merit. If it was up to us, Jesus would never have had to die. But because we couldn't do that, because we can't be good enough, God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. And if you're sitting here today and you say, man, I have heard truth, I believe what the Bible says, and today, right now, I am going to surrender my life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer. Now, mind you, the words don't save you. The words of this prayer do not save you. It just kind of gives you a moment in time where you stopped and acknowledged Jesus as your Savior, and where you stopped and believed. And you can mark it on a calendar because you remember the day that you said the prayer. What gets you saved is that you believe. The prayer is just kind of a roadmap to guide you through the process. And so if you wish to receive Christ today, I want you to pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, today I realize I'm a sinner. I've done a lot of wrong. But today I surrender. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you conquered death and hell. And I believe that you rose from the dead and you are at the right hand of the Father. Today I repent of all my wrong. And Jesus, I believe you to be the Savior of my life. And so today I give you my life.